Bless you. You glad to be saved tonight?
Amen.
And I'm glad that He is not only God when the sun is shining, I'm glad He's God when there is no sun shining. I was preaching in West Virginia not long ago, and I said He's God of the sunshine, and He's God of the moonshine. One lady pointed to her husband and went, I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but you never know about West Virginia, do you? I told them up there, I said, I heard everybody in West Virginia was saved because nobody up there has reached the age of accountability yet, amen? And they said when you get a divorce up in West Virginia, they say, Judge, are we still cousins? Oh, my. But we had a great time up there. But I'm glad to be here. But I'll be honest with you, I have crossed five counties. I have no idea where I'm at. I got through South Carolina, and I come into North Carolina, and I believe that was around Shelby. What? That's some kind of county over there. Lincolnton, and then I seen a sign said Catawba County. I said, Lord God, that's where Charles Worley lives. I know I don't want to go there. And then finally I got into Burke County. Is that where I'm at now? Praise God. I feel like I'm in a state of confusion, amen? But I'm just so glad to be here, and I told my church last night to pray for me. I'd be preaching outside. And man, I love this right here, boy. This is the perfect will of God from the foundation of the world, I'm going to tell you right now. I told Brother Scott Cunningham, I said, I'm so happy this is indoor meeting, I could kiss somebody. He said, don't kiss me. But I hope the Lord will allow us to be a blessing. Usually, a doctor will make a mess and an orderly will clean it up. But them fellas you had preaching ain't made no messes. I'm still an orderly. I just have to make my own mess, amen? You've had two wonderful, wonderful, wonderful preachers here. And I feel like a Kentucky mule, and I feel like a Missouri mule and a Kentucky Derby. But I'm like Minnie Pearl. I'm just glad to be here, amen? And the Lord is good. If God does anything with any of us, it's all of Him. It's not about us, but it's about Him. And I appreciate you so much coming out tonight, and thank you for coming. I want you to open your Bible, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 11, as we stand, the reverence, the reading of the precious Word of God. How many got your Bible with you tonight? You love it. Amen. Just hold it up there and wave it real big. Ain't that, Lord, look around. Ain't that a beautiful sight? So now I believe the devil has to take three nitroglycerins when God's people start waving the book. This Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I appreciate God not leaving us to ourselves. I appreciate God taking the initiative. Luke chapter number 11, we'll begin reading tonight in verse number 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Thank God for that. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And to him that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Come down to verse number 11, if you will. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Here is my text. How much more? Can you say that together with me tonight? How much more? I'm glad that's the kind of God that we serve. I'm glad that's the kind of Holy Ghost we know. I'm glad that's the kind of book we've got. I'm glad that's the kind of Savior we've got. I'm wanting to mess with that real bad right there. How much more? Let's say that together again. How much more? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You may be seated tonight, and for a while I want to try to magnify them three words in verse 13. How much more? And in this parable on prayer that Jesus gives, He encourages you and I with the fact that God still answers prayer. I don't think tonight that God would command you and I to do something and God not keep His end of the bargain. I don't believe God in the Bible would challenge us to pray. I don't believe God in the Bible would instruct us to pray. I don't believe God would encourage you and I in the Bible to pray if He was not a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I'm glad tonight that Jeremiah 33 verse 3 is still in the book. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Aren't you glad in 2008 that God still answers prayer? To magnify this truth in our text tonight, He uses a twofold illustration. In verses 5 down through verse number 10, He uses what I call the friend illustration. God answers prayer based on our friendship. And aren't you glad that He is our friend? I love what the songwriter said in that great hymn of the church. What a friend we have in Jesus. I like the way Pop Spear put it in the Red Book. He's the dearest friend I ever had. And because He is our friend, we know that God answers prayer. Now, He is not a fickle friend. He is not a fair weather friend. He is not an unfaithful friend. He is a Proverbs kind of friend. You say, Brother Joe, what do you mean by that? Well, Proverbs, the wise preacher, lays down some high qualifications for friendship. First of all, he said, a friend loveth at all times. May I say to you tonight that Jesus Christ well meets that qualification. He loves us at all times. He loves us when we're good, and He loves us when we're bad. He loves us when we're up. He loves us when we're down. He loves us when we're soaring with the eagles, and He loves us when we're clucking with the turkeys. He loves us at all times. Then Proverbs said that if a man hath friends, he must first show himself friendly. Jesus Christ well qualifies for that friendship because He took the initiative and he loved us before we ever knew him. In fact, we love him because he first loved us. And then Proverbs said, I like this, he said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May I remind you tonight that Jesus Christ well meets that qualification of friendship. You know, it's hard to leave somebody that won't leave you. And he promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So I believe tonight I would be safe in saying that he is our friend. He is our wonderful friend. He is our faithful friend. He is our kind friend. He is our loving friend. And because he is our friend, we know that he answers prayer. And then in verse 11 down through verse 13, he uses the second illustration and what I call the Father illustration. He answers prayer not only based on our friendship, but he bases answered prayer on his fatherhood. He is not only our friend, but he is our father. I'm glad he's my friend, and I'm also glad that he is my father. He is our heavenly father. He is our eternal father. He is our faithful father. As a father loves his children, he loves us tonight. As a father guides his children, he guides us tonight. As a father even chastens his children, he chases us tonight. Aren't you glad he is our heavenly father? We may be without money. We may be without clout. We may be without political power. We may get without social standing. But we are not without a father. We know him because we have been birthed into his family. We have been sealed with the Spirit. We have been purchased by his son. And I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And because he is our Father, he answers prayer. The Bible said your heavenly Father knows the things we have need of even before we ask. The Bible said the Holy Spirit that dwells within us cries out through the power of adoption, Abba Father. I'm glad he is our Father. I'm not illegitimate. I have a Father. I'm not hooked into religion. I'm not hooked into a preacher. I'm not hooked into a religious system. He is my Father. In fact, in that great model prayer, Jesus said, here's a good pattern. Here is a good illustration. Here is a good method. He said, when ye pray, say something like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is our Father, and he answers prayer. He is our friend, and he answers prayer. What really blesses me about this text, the same one that's my friend, it's the same one that's my father. And the same one that's my father, it's my friend. He's my friend father, he's my father friend. Now you can't beat a deal like that. When he's not only your father, but he's your friend. And because he's your friend and your father and your father and your friend, he answers prayer. And what I love about this friendship and what I love about this fatherhood, our text uses this phrase, how much more? You say, what kind of friend is he? How much more? You say, what kind of father is he? How much more? You say, what kind of prayers does he answer? How much more? You say, what kind of storms does he still? How much more? You say, what kind of problems does he solve? How much more? How many promises does he keep? How much more? How much grace does he bestow? How much more? How much peace does he speak? How much more? He's a how much more friend. He's a how much more father. I'm glad he lives and moves and operates in the realm of how much more. Boy, I thank God for all of my friends. I've got some good friends. But did you know my friends at their best are limited in what they can do for me? I've had friends of mine tell me when I was sick, Brother Joe, I love you and I'm praying for you, but they could not take my sickness. I've had financial needs, and my friends would say, Brother Joe, if, don't you just love it when they say, if, and you're going, no, you wouldn't if you didn't have it. Can I get a witness? And my friends would say, Brother Joe, if I had it, or if I could. And what they're saying is, I love you, and you're my friend, but I'm limited. I have borders. I have boundaries. I have my limits. But may I tell you about one tonight who has no borders, who has no boundaries, who has no limitations. He is how much more. I appreciate my earthly father tonight. Pastored and preached for over 50 years. And he's a member of our church now. And he sits in the middle section on the front row. And he's had several strokes and a brain tumor. And I believe he's got one foot over here and one foot over yonder. I really believe he's caught between two worlds. He's kind of wanting to stay, and I think he's kind of wanting to go. I know another man in the book of Philippians got in that same crossroads one night. But I love my father. He's been my hero. He was my fishing buddy. He was my hunting buddy. And he wouldn't let me go play golf. He said that was for sissies. And he was my pastor. And he was the best man at my wedding. And we've had a great relationship. I tell people this across the country, and they look at me kind of funny. There's no subject. There never was a subject that I couldn't sit down and talk to my father about explicitly. I mean, he was my buddy. He was my hero. He was my friend. I know he would give me the shirt off his back. I know he would give me the last dime in his pocket. I know he would do for me anything that he could. But yet, at my father's best, he had his borders. He had his boundaries. He had his limits. He came to see me when I was sick in the hospital, and he stood at the foot of my bed and said, boy, if I could put that sickness upon myself, I would get in that bed for you. He's called me many times and said, son, if I had the money, I'd pay off all the church's bills. And I'm going, oh, I wished you had the money. And he would say, son, daddy loves you, but I've just done all I can do. I remember the night when I got under conviction and I went in to talk to my dad. I said, dad, I'm really struggling with my salvation. He said, boy, you lock yourself up in your room. God will have to save you. God will have to help you. I mean, I love my father. My father loves me, but he has his boundaries. He has his limits. But wait a minute. I've come to tell you about one tonight who is your heavenly father, and he knows no borders, and he knows no boundaries, and he has no limits. Let me tell you about this father. He is able, not only able, but he's able to do. He is not only able to do, but he's able to do exceedingly. He's not only able to do exceedingly, but he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Not only exceedingly abundantly above all. Not only exceedingly abundantly above all. all that we ask, but not only exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. If you can say it, God can go beyond it. If you can think it, God can go beyond it. If it'll pass by your imagination, God can go beyond it. I'm telling you, He is a Father. He is a friend. He is a King. He is a Savior. He is a Shepherd. He is a God. He's a great High Priest who lives and operates in the world. How much more? How much more? How much more? That's the kind of God He is. How much more? Praise God. I feel like preaching right there a while. I'm glad He works, He moves, He operates in the realm of how much more. In our text tonight, there are three worlds of how much more that God will lead you and I in tonight if we'll trust this friend who is our Father. World number one, let me say it like this. How much more grace in relation to salvation? How much more grace in relation to salvation? Let me say it like this. When it comes to God saving sinners, changing lives, reaching way below the bottom, and rescuing people by His grace, you ain't seen nothing yet. You say, where do you see that in our text? Well, in verses 5 and 6, there is this man. And according to our scripture, he is hungry. And it's midnight. And he's going from house to house, door to door, not asking for money, not asking for pleasure, not asking for social standing. He's just simply asking for bread. He's hungry. There is a chasm. There is a void. There is an emptiness in his life. And he's hungry. And he's thirsty. And he's just trying to find something to satisfy him in the midnight hour. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just described your life in mine before we met Jesus Christ. In fact, no matter, ladies and gentlemen, I have just described the condition of this lost world in which we live. I mean it like this. Man is void. Man is empty. He has a chasm. He has a hole in his heart bigger than the world, and he's thirsty, and he's hungry, and he's unrest, and he's looking, and he's searching. He's tried everything, but yet that void is still there. He's tried everything, and yet that gnawing is still there. He's tried everything, but he's just as lonely, and he's just as sad, and he's just as empty as he's ever been. But one day somebody tells him about Jesus Christ, who said, I've got water, and if you drink it, you'll never thirst. And I've got bread, and if you eat it, you'll never hunger. And I got life, and if you ever get it, you'll never die. And if you ever get in my Father's hand, you'll never perish. And he trusted Christ. He believed the gospel. He sided with God against himself, and God saved him, and God redeemed him, and God rescued him. And may I remind you tonight, he not only saves, but he satisfies. He fills the longing. Jesus Christ is right for what's wrong in men's lives. Here is a man that got satisfied. Woo! In the midnight hour. I'm preaching to some folks that knows what it is to get satisfied in the midnight hour. I grew up in the country, and we sang Southern gospel songs. In fact, a lot of our songs were Southern, but wasn't a whole lot of gospel, but I enjoyed it. And we used to sing a little song. Now, don't come up here after church and straighten me out theologically. I know where I stand, and This song is not, you know, all that, you know, hippo theologically correct, but the truth of it, I like it. And I know we didn't find God, he found us, and I know all that, but you do need to read where Nathaniel said we have found the Christ. But anyway, and I know God found us, and I know all about that, but I remember that little song my mom and daddy used to sing. I searched for him, knew not what I searched for. I longed for him and knew not what I longed for. Did you know you were thirsty but didn't know what for? You were hungry but didn't know what for? Oh, you were looking but didn't know what you were looking for. And thank God one day somebody said, Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. And the Holy Ghost said, that's it, that's it, that's it. That's what you're searching for. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're longing for. And do you remember that glad hour when the Holy Ghost introduced you to Jesus Christ and a dose of blue sky, white cloud, red blood, salvation swept out the gable into your soul, and the search was over and the journey was over? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if there's an unholy feeling struggling in your breast and you don't want to die with that God and go to a devil's hell, you can be saved. You can be saved. I'm glad God still saves old sinners. You say, how does he save? How much more grace in relation to salvation? How much more? I love to hear people give their testimonies, don't you? It don't bother me to hear about somebody being saved. I like it. Don't take something else. It don't bother me if somebody asks me if I'm saved. And if it bothers you, if somebody asks you if you saved, you might need to get a dose of it tonight. And man, I love to hear people give their testimonies. And I've heard people get up and tell about what all God got them out of and how far God reached down to save them. And I'd say something like this: that's the best I've ever heard. I don't believe I'll ever hear a testimony better than that one. Boy, God reached way below the bottom to get that one. And then I'll go to the next church and somebody tells their story, and I'll say, I believe that's the best I ever heard. I don't believe you'll ever hear one better than that. God reached way below the bottom to get that one. Then I'll go to the next church and I'll hear somebody else's story. And I'll say, I believe that's the best I ever heard. I believe God reached way below the bottom to get that one. And then I'll go to the next one and I'll hear the next story. And then I'll hear the next story. And after hearing it, I'll say, I believe that's the best I ever heard. I don't believe I ever hear one better than that. And then I'll go to the next meeting. And then I'll go to the next person. And I hear that, and finally it dawns on me, I ain't heard it all. I've not seen it all. For the depths have never been discovered and the heights have never been obtained. I'm telling you, boy, as far as God reaching down and saving sinners, the half has never been told. You ain't seen nothing yet. He operates in the world of how much more? Boy, can I run a rabbit right here? Man, I sure would hate to believe that God no longer saves. Man, I was in one of those high-powered meetings the other day, and one of them kind, you know, where ain't nobody saved but the moderator and his two buddies. And before the meeting was over with, I was doubting the moderator and all his buddies. And man, I heard a man say, God hadn't saved anybody much since the 50s. Well, I don't believe that. Let me ask you this. Anybody in this room tonight been saved since the 50s? In fact, this is a Baptist meeting. Let's vote on something. Anybody here tonight saved? Raise your right hand. All right, if you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, cross them at a brisk pace. See, I told you you was going to shout one of these days. God still saving sinners. You say, Brother Joe, it's 2008. I know, but it's how much more? But we're living in the last days. We've been in them a long time. How much more? You say, but oh, preacher, sin's at an all-time high. Have you not read where sin did abound? Grace did much more, much more, much more. Can I tell you tonight, the death that Jesus died on Calvary was how much more, and the blood Jesus shed was how much more, and the resurrection Jesus had was how much more, and the Bible God wrote was how much more, and the invitation is how much more, and it still says, whosoever will, let him come. He still saves sinners. What kind? How much more? I was preaching at our church where I pastor, and our church is like all other churches. They take their pastor for granted. Go somewhere else to preach, and they're climbing the walls, and they're standing in line 30 minutes for you to sign their Bible. Go back to where you pastor and like, well, Joe's back. Any of you preachers feel my pain? And our church is like all other churches, I guess. We don't shout every time we go. Now, we subject to. I said we subject to. But it was one of those little quiet Sunday mornings when they were just kind of, I'll be honest with you, they didn't want to be there. And be honest with you, bless God, I didn't want to be there. And so I stopped right in the middle of my sermon. I said, wait a minute. I said, you may not enjoy my outline. You may not enjoy my illustrations. You may not appreciate my homiletical ability. I don't even know what that is. That's just some word I heard somebody else use one time. I said, but I am going to just read out of the Bible. And I believe you're going to like it. And I made this, I said, everybody don't shout. Everybody don't outwardly express. Everybody don't jump up and run. But I believe everybody can at least grin. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't expect anybody to shout. But I think every now and then you can at least. And I said, the verses I'm going to read to you are grinning verses. I don't believe you can listen to me read what I'm about to read and not at least grin. Now, you may not shout, you may not stand up, you may not even wave a hat, but I believe you're going to at least grin. How many is ready to grin? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Time out, news flash. Everybody's not saved. Everybody's not going to heaven. There's some that's not going to get in. But here's your grinning verse. I'm telling you, you may not ever shout. You may not stand up. You may not run. But I believe you're about to grin right here. You ready? Here's where we're going to grin. Look in verse number 11. And such were some of you. You say, that's some real bad stuff. Up in verse 9 and 10, I know, but that's some real good stuff down there in verse number 11. And guess where all of us used to live? We used to live up there in verse 9 and 10. Well, we're born in verse 9 and 10. We lived in verse 9 and 10. And had been for God, we'd have died with the hell in verse 9 and 10. Thank God, verse number 11. I got wrote down beside of that verse, grin right here.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You ready? Here it is. And such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are just. Aren't you glad God butted in? Aren't you glad grace butted in? I was a sinner. I was alienated. I was condemned. But. I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm telling you, how much more grace in relation to salvation. You ain't seen nothing yet. Deeper than the stain has gone. Woo! Unto him that loved us and washed us. Praise God in his own blood. I like to study words. And the other day I got to gombing around with that little word washed. Now, I can't speak Greek nor read Greek, but Kenneth Weiss could, and I can read him. The only Greek I know, he owns a pizza place over there in Hickory. But Kenneth Weiss, A.T. Robertson, and James Strong, all of them seem to agree on this, that word translated washed is a Greek word, lutros. Translated in John 11, loose and let him go. And as I was studying that, I said, Lord, what does washed and loosed got to do with each other? Boy, can I tell you what the Lord showed me? If you have a stain in a garment, the stain intertwines in the fabric. If I had a oil stain on this handkerchief tonight and I held it up like this, you know why the stain wouldn't fall off? You know why you couldn't shake it off? You know why you couldn't stomp it off? Because it's bonded. It's got intertwined, ingrained in the fabric. So I take it home. And my wife gets some detergent. Now, chemically speaking, you know what detergent does? It gets inside the stain. It breaks through the stain. It lifts up, oh glory. Hallelujah. It lifts up the stain. It smacks the stain on the hand and said, turn loose. It oozes between the stain and the garment and says, lifts it up, whoo, and the water washes it away. Well, I had a problem. It got a hold of me. The stain of sin. Now, I couldn't sleep it off. I couldn't church it off. I couldn't even do like Elvis and shake it off. My daddy couldn't even stomp it out of me. That's one thing Mama Switch couldn't beat out of me. Oh, but I, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. God got some heavenly detergent called the blood of Jesus Christ. And it busted through. It broke through. It went deeper than the stain. Lifted the stain. Got between me and the stain and picked it up and washed it away. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but thank God I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. How much more? How much more? How much more grace in relation to salvation? Can I say it like this? When it comes to God saving sinners, you ain't seen nothing yet. Praise God. World number two in our scripture. He not only operates in the realm of how much more grace in relation to salvation, but man, there's something else I saw in this text. Think about it like this. How much more goodness in relation to supply. Amen. Let me say it like this. Not only do I stand amazed and God saving sinners, but I stand amazed in God supplying our need. How much more? Let me say it like this. When it comes to God taking a little and doing a lot, you ain't seen nothing yet. When it comes to God putting meal in the barrel and oil in the cruise, you ain't seen nothing yet. For your extremity is nothing more than God's opportunity to roll up his sleeves and bear his arm. He said, my God shall supply all of your need. How much more goodness in relation to supply? You said, what do you see that in Luke 11? Watch this. Not only is there a friend hungry for bread in the midnight hour. Boy, God really spoke to me right here. In the same passage, there is another friend. And he has been given an opportunity to minister to the need of another. Let me interject something right here. Whatever books you read, whatever Bible conferences you go to, whosever magazine you subscribe to, whose tape or CD of a month list you're on, if what you're reading and hearing causes you to lose your burden to see men and women and boys and girls saved by the grace of God, you're reading the wrong stuff, you're going to the wrong meeting, and you got the wrong CDs coming to your house. The heartbeat of God is people coming to Jesus. I've never read when my preaching tore up heaven. I think it tore up a few churches, but I don't think my preaching ever tore up heaven. I don't think my singing tears up heaven. But I found out something that does. When a sinner comes to God, the Bible said there's joy. Woo! In the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repents. I like what dear brother said a while ago. When we got saved, it didn't make the paper, it didn't make the radio, and it didn't make the TV. But thank God I'm glad in the glory world it made news in heaven. They shouted it out on the other side, and if they're shouting it out in heaven when a sinner gets saved, we ought to shout it out down here when a sinner gets saved. God strategically placed this man in the path of this hungry man. He gave him an opportunity to minister to this man in the midnight hour. But boys, here's what humbles you. You didn't tell me how long I'm supposed to preach. Well, praise God. But just do me a favor. If you start getting through for a while, do somebody holler and I'll quit right there. But what humbled me about this text, Pastor, Even though there's a man in this passage that's been given the opportunity to meet the need of this hungry friend, he does not possess the means nor the provision within himself to do it. And he has to admit to this friend, I have nothing. Now, how many of you agree with me tonight that Jesus Christ has left the church in this world to preach, proclamate, throw the lifeline, throw the net, and win lost people to Jesus? How many of you believe that's the job of the church? But in ourself, we don't have it. In ourself, we don't have the means to fulfill our divine obligation. But time out. Newsflash. This just in. There's another friend in this chapter. I said there's another friend. Oh, I felt it that time. There's another. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. There's another. Oh my, oh my. There's another friend. Oh my. There's another friend in this text. That's more than this friend that's hungry. That's more than this friend who is needy. There's this other friend who's got bread. Even at midnight. And this friend says to his hungry friend, I don't have anything. I'm fresh out. But I'll tell you what I will do. I got a friend. Whoop! And I'm going to go to my friend. And I'm going to get you some bread. I imagine he says, well, how do you know you can go? I've always been able to go before. Well, how do you know he's going to answer? He always has before. Well, how do you know he's got it? He always has before. You think he's going to deny you? He never has before. Time out. Time out. Let me ask you, anybody here not saved? If you're saved, raise your right hand. If you know it, raise your left hand. If you're glad about it, cross them real quick. Hey, you people that's waving at me, you people that's waving at me, let me ask you, has he ever failed? Has he ever not got up at midnight? Has he ever let you down? Has he ever disappointed you? Never before. I mean, not one time, never, 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 ever, never, 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 not one time. But I want to tell you, bless God, if he never, never, never has, he never, never, never will. He's still God. He's still God. He's still God. He's still got it. Woo! If I'd have known I was going to have this much fun, I'd have come last week. And so this friend, I'm hurrying. So this friend, he gets up at midnight and he goes to his friend. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Why? Friend, because my friend, not for me. I'm asking this, not that I might consume it upon my own lust. It ain't for me. It's for him. I'm not a reservoir. I'm just a channel. God, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it to him. Time out. You know why most churches don't get their prayers answered? They're selfish. It's for them. They don't have no kingdom vision. It's not for us. It's not for us. It's for them. Amen. Here's most Baptist prayer life. And here's how it ought to be. need some scripture for that. You have not because you ask not. Read the rest of it. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it. I'm about to preach myself under conviction. That you might consume it upon your own lust. He said, friend, and notice what he said. The King James uses a real interesting word. Lend me. Lend me. Lend me. You know what that word lend means? It means lend me. It means, can I use some real country talk? It means I ain't got none. And I ain't never going to have none. If you don't give me some, whoo! If I loan you my car, that means it's still mine. And you're just driving it for a little while. That man didn't say give me. He said just lend me. Lord, whew, I'm going to tell you, Brother Scott, that right there is pretty good. He said, Lord, it ain't my bread. It's your bread. Because friend, I don't have any bread. But you got bread. Loan it to me. I'll use it wisely. I won't take no bite. I'll give it to somebody. Oh my. Time out. News flash. Aren't you glad for that day when somebody went to their friend on your behalf and said, God, give me something I can give them. You got it from God. And hey, we don't have it within ourselves. But I'm glad there's a God who operates in the real. How much more? How much more? How much more? God will supply your need for the ministry. You know what he said to Isaiah? He said, I'll reach into the hidden treasures of darkness. That means where the lights don't shine. Secret places. That means where you've never been. Well, I don't see how in the world God's going to meet that need. I know. You know why? Because you ain't seen everything. Well, I don't know how in the world God's going to meet that need. You know why? Because you don't know everything. Well, I ain't never been over there. I know, but God has. In fact, you can't go nowhere where God ain't already been. You can't go nowhere where God ain't already at. But I ain't never seen over there. I know, but God has. I wish somebody help me right there, boy. Hallelujah. Abraham and Isaac are on this side of the mountain, and the ram's on the other side of the mountain. They're coming up one side, and the ram's come up on the other side. Hallelujah. They can't see the ram, and the ram can't see them. But God. Sees both sides. Woo! I'm telling you, when you're coming up one side, God's coming up on the other side. He will supply. He will supply. You ain't seen nothing yet. How much more goodness in relation to supply? No boundaries, no limits. He can, he has, he will, praise God. How much more? Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Grace in relation to salvation, goodness in relation to supply. My last point, a third world in this text. Let me say it like this. How much more glory in relation to the spirit-filled life? All my ministry, I've read this passage. And I've even preached from this passage. But, you know, I just didn't see it till the other day. The whole premise of the text, the whole foundation of the text, the whole reason why Jesus gives the illustration about the friend and the father and the bread, as that he might come to verse 13. If ye then, being evil, and that word means fleshly, carnal, earthly, know how to give good gifts to your children. And just let me ask you this, how many daddies we got here? Let me ask you this, how many felt like you really wasn't appreciated yesterday like you ought to been? Get them hands up. Every last stinking one of you, get your hands up. I feel your pain, man. I feel your pain. How many daddies we got here? Wave at me if somebody calls you daddy. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of you have girls? You really know how to give good gifts. You're looking at the biggest sugar daddy that Atlanta, Georgia's got. Because them girls will teach you how to give good gifts. And they learned it from their mama. Because every one of them are born with that mall look. And every one of them are born manipulating. All right, can I get a witness? How many daughters we got here? Come on, daughters, raise your hand. Right there's a daughter. Is that your daddy? Hold your hand up, sweetie. Yeah, dangling from that little pinky is that big old fat man right there. You still my buddy? And if you would go to 180 Oakwood Lakes Drive, Hampton, Georgia tonight, there's an 18-year-old girl named Joanna. And if you would look on her pinky, you'd see me all 100 and... I'm sorry, Jesus, do I really got to be honest? All 200... Let's stop right there, dear Jesus. But you would see me dangling from it. Because I love my children, and you love your daughter, and you love your children, and I love being able to meet their needs. I like it when somebody needs me. Don't you look at me like that, buddy. You like to think somebody needs you too. But I'm just an old sinful man. Weak and fleshly and carnal, but I know how to give good gifts. But how much more? Woo! How much more? And listen, at the best gift, how much? I'm still Baptist, but I believe in the Holy Ghost. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Oh my. Can I say it like this? When it comes to God saving sinners, you ain't seen nothing yet. When it comes to God providing our needs, you ain't seen nothing yet. Hear me now, we're closing. Hear me now. When it comes to God lifting you above the shadows, empowering you with authority, anointing you with fresh oil, lifting you up on high ground. Hey, praise God. Leading you out in the green pasture. Praise God, leading you out in the deep waters. Maturing you in God. Growing you in grace. Filling you with the Holy Ghost. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. How much more? I don't know about you, but I am tired of the status quo. And I'm tired of the average. Let me say it like this. There's more to it than just being saved. There's more to it than just showing up for church. There's more to it than just enjoying the preaching and the singing. There's a deeper depth. There's a higher height. Woo! Son, I'm here to tell you, may God lift us up and move us out and shove us off into the waters. How much more, how much more, how much more may we experience the fullness of the Holy Ghost? How much more? Praise God. I was talking to Brother Scott Moneyham today, and we have a dear friend of ours. I don't know, anybody ever here ever heard the Burns Trio sing from South Carolina? Been singing at the old Greer Baptist camp meeting for 60 straight years. That's a long time. And if you've ever heard Sister Bonnie sing, oh, what a Savior. I'm sure you've been lifted above the shadows. On my way up here, I stopped by the hospital and told her goodbye. She's eat up with terminal 5. Bad. Tomorrow they're going to move her to the hospice. We all know what that means. And I said, Bonnie, how is it? And she said, I've got peace. I got grace. And I got hope. Wow. Whew. I said, well, honey, as much as you sung about it, and as much as you've heard them old-time men of God preach about it, much Holy Ghost as you've been around, you already know it's real. And you are about to see it for the first time. And I said, Bonnie, I ain't never seen it, but I just got a feeling in my soul. It's as good as they said it was. Woo! Now, I was telling Brother Scott about that, and he told me this. He said, I remember Sister Bonnie was singing, oh, what a Savior. Listen to what he said. Now, the first time I ever shouted. I remember the first time I ever shouted. It's as real to me as being saved. I was saved and really struggling. I love bluegrass, and I wanted to be a bluegrass musician, and had a lot of the world in me, and Daddy tried to beat it out of me, and the more he beat it in me, the meaner I got. And God saved me, and I was really struggling. My daddy come in my room one night. He said, get your clothes on, boy, go to church. Now, it was Thursday night. But at my house, it didn't matter if it was Monday, Tuesday, Friday, or Saturday, or 5 times on Sunday. When daddy said, get up, you got up then. Why? Because if you didn't, you'd have been took to the woodshed, and that'd have been bloodshed. And if you've ever called him an old man, or your mom an old woman, bless God, did have slapped you so hard you thought the Liberty Bell cracked again. Hello? My daddy never read that book about warping my personality. He warped something else a time or two, but it wasn't my personality. How many do you feel my pain? He said, Mays Jackson's in town, boy. We need to go over there and hear him preach. Well, we got there late and had to sit in the back. And Brother Mays got up to preach. Lord, have mercy. And he struck oil, the mother load. And the Holy Ghost got to slosh around that place. And I'm sitting in the back. My mama's on this side. My daddy's on this side. And my mama's the first to get cranked. Back in them days, them women wore their hair up. Went to the beauty shop once a week. Through the rest of the week, they rolled it up in toilet paper during the night. Come on now. Remember that? My mama took hers down one time. Two roaches crawled out the top of it. And that's when they get to shouting them bobby pins. Now, come on now. I'm talking about that Vestal Goodman look. And boy, my mama was so dignified until it come shouting time. And she'd try her best to fight it off. But it got to a certain level. Bobby pins or not. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Woo! And she got in. Well, that cranked my dad's motor. And my dad, he was 6'3", 285 pounds, wore size 12 triple E. He shouted, glory to God. Woo! I was preaching up north the other day, and one of them Yankees said, what's mean? I said, in North Carolina, that means hallelujah. Woo! And he got cranked. Well, sitting in the row in front of me was my daddy and Brother Mays' best friend, Brother William Cobb from Burlington, North Carolina. He was 5'5" tall, just about 5.5 feet wide. But boy, he knew God. Oh, did he know God? You ever been around anybody could just say Jesus? Well, most people, when they shout, they'll do like this, or hallelujah, or glory to God, not William Cobb. Like, glory, 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 glory. I'm sitting there getting laps full. I mean, if I go over here, I'm going to bump in it. If I move over here, I'm going to get run over. If I can't go up because I'm getting laps full, and I'm already on the back row, there wasn't nowhere for me to go. And about that time, the Holy Ghost slipped up and said, join them. Join them. It's now or never. Woo. And I jumped in the river. Got a case of the cane hippets. It's almost been 26 years ago, and I still got a case of the cane hippets. You don't have to shout to be right with God, but if you're right with God, it won't bother you if somebody else has a spell. Woo! Old Billy Kelly got saved and started preaching and pastored his first church and still smoked cigarettes. I ain't gonna dwell there. And said he tried to hide it from people. Said one time he went down on vacation to St. Augustine, lit him up one. He didn't think nobody knowed him down there. And said he looked up and here come a preacher from his hometown. He said, I'll run that thing in my pocket. He said, I stood there. He said, and I got home, I had three holes in his underwear. He said, I was saved. I believed God, believed in Jesus. And he said, I was just struggling. He said, I knew that was a power and an energy that I didn't have. And one day he's riding down the road and he sees a poster of a preacher standing there in a bow tie with a Bible going like that. And it said, come here, Dr. Hal B. Sattler and Dr. Hyman Appleman. They were doing a Bible conference. Said he went in that night and Dr. Hyman Appleman preached on being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Billy Kelly said, the only people he had ever heard talk like that were holy rollers. And it scared him. And he left. And said, that's a bunch of fanatics. And he said, the next night, God said, get back over there. Said he went back that night, and Dr. Harold B. Sattler got up and said, I've got a sore throat. I can't preach. So we're going to have an old-fashioned prayer meeting. And Brother Billy said, I thought, well, anybody can sit through a prayer meeting. He ain't never been no prayer meeting like that one. He said, well, I went to church when we got a prayer meeting, this and pray, that and pray, and that and pray, and that and pray, but not that one. He said, they all fell out praying at the same time. He said, it sounded like a bunch of coon dogs treeing a coon. He said, I stopped my ears up and I could still hear them. He said, finally, there was a bald-headed man beside of me. And I said, hey, sir, I can't understand what they're saying. And said that old bald-headed man said, they ain't talking to you, boy. Woo! And he said, on the way home that night, he said, God said, it's now or never. He said, I'll roll that window down and throw them lucky camel fills out my pocket. And he said, when them cigarettes went that way, he said, the Holy Ghost come in this way. Amen. He said, God crawled up in the front seat of that automobile with him. He said, I went out through a cornfield. He said, I took down 5 years of roasting ears. He said, I finally got that car back on the road, got to my house, slid in the driveway, got out and shut the door and said, whoo, glory. And said his wife, Dot, come to the door in her nightgown and said, what's wrong? And he said, nothing. I've just crossed the river. And I'm shouting down the walls of Jericho. And I got the grape juice running off my chin. God has filled me with his Holy Spirit. I believe tonight it ought to be as real as our salvation. Because he operates in the realm of how much more. God wants to use you like you've never been used. God wants to move you where you've never been. God wants to lift you higher than you've ever been. God wants to take you farther than you've ever been. God wants to use and bless and move in our lives. You say, preacher, how much? No limits. Out of the banks, over the boundaries, he operates in the world of how much more? Why don't you call on this father, friend, father, and let him move you into the realm of how much more. Let's stand together tonight. What do I do now, brother? Turn it over to you? Okay. I wonder if there's anybody interested tonight in what I've been preaching. And you like for this friend, father, take you by the heart and hand and lead you into the realm how much more. Pastor, God wants to grow your church. How much more? He wants to move in your ministry. How much more? Mom and Dad, God wants to move in your family. How much more? Teenage boys and girls, God wants to invade your life. How much more? God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do. Open up your heart. Let him move in your life. Let's sing together.